Hello, thank you for tuning in for another episode on the AusChan Beijing podcast series. Today I'm really excited to be here with Shannon Bufton from Zerk Cycling to learn more about bicycle culture in China. To give our audience a better understanding about who you are, could you please give us a brief introduction about yourself and also how you started Zerk?
Okay, well, hi everyone. I'm Shannon from Melbourne, and I've been here in China for just about 10 years. I first came here working as an architect and urban designer, but after 5 years of traveling around China and banging my head against the wall, I decided I'd do something a little bit different and started doing urban research on Chinese cities and their old bicycle culture. So my wife and I did this work for a couple of years, and then we decided we'd open up China's first bike shop, bar and cafe, which was called Zerk, which we did in 2012. And since then we've developed that into a fully fledged cycling business that has a bike shop, bike trips around Beijing and bike tours around Greater China.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. So obviously you've been around for a while now, and you know how bicycle culture has evolved over the years. Can you tell us more about that, how bicycle culture in China has evolved over the years?
Well, actually, you know, the bicycle has a special place in the heart and minds of Chinese people, and it's been a part of the culture of cities here for a long time. Mm-hmm. And particularly, you know, after the revolution and Mao came to power, the bicycle became the main form of transportation for Chinese cities. So in its peak, Beijing had something like 4 million bicycles plying the roads of Beijing on a daily basis. And to put that into some perspective, it's about 10 times the amount of bicycle traffic that 2015 Copenhagen has.
Yeah.
So this was a really significant bicycle city in the 70s, 80s and early 90s. So it's probably the most amazing bicycle city that mankind has ever built. So, you know, then the car came with modernization, and you know, probably some of you listening to this are stuck in traffic in Beijing and wondering what the hell happened to all the bikes. Well, they've been slowly disappearing off the roads, and cars and electric scooters and so on have been taking over. But in the past, I'd say 3 or 4 years, there's been a quiet revolution, and more people are getting back into cycling here in this city. Mm-hmm. And if you go out to the mountains in the suburbs of Beijing on the weekend, you'll find that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of young Chinese out on mountain bikes and road bikes, starting to ride the bicycle for leisure.
Yeah, definitely. I do see them as well, with younger people just taking interest and being more cautious about the environment. So what kind of practical advice can you offer AusCham listeners to enhance their cycling experience in Beijing or outside of the capital in regards to navigating air quality concerns, equipment or danger on the roads?
Well, firstly, we'll start off with the big one, which is air pollution.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big concern for everyone, and it seems that cycling is always gets picked on when it comes to air pollution. You know, if you're riding your bike out there in the traffic, then you're exposed to the air pollution. But on the other side, the more people that ride bikes, then effectively the less air pollution there is.
Mm-hmm.
So firstly, I encourage everyone to get out and ride bikes. I say this on a daily basis to anyone that I meet, because
mm-hmm.
It's one of the solutions to the traffic and air problems.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of navigating the dangers, you know, I keep a close eye on the air pollution index. I also keep a close eye on the wind to work out when the best days are for riding.
Mm-hmm.
And if the pollution is usually over 150, then I won't ride my bike. I will, you know, catch a subway or take other forms of transportation. And I use a mask as much as I can to protect me.
Do you also wear a helmet? Because no one wears a helmet in Beijing.
I don't wear a helmet when I ride my bike around the city, because I ride like a I like a local. I ride quite slowly and I kind of go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one question you asked about the dangers of riding in the city. Actually, I don't think Beijing is a dangerous city to ride in at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually did a whole research paper on this thing called we call negotiated flow, which is how bicycle traffic moves in Chinese cities. And it's more like a school of fish. It doesn't have set rules and regulations like we might do in Australia or other parts of the world. There's a loose set of kind of ideas that people follow sometimes. And the rest of the time it's fairly chaotic. But actually this system of chaos is quite safe when you understand how those rules work. So in terms of safety on the road, I recommend that people firstly slow down while they're riding their bike and just go with the flow and watch what other people do and follow that, and I think you'll find that it's quite safe. And a lot of the times when you have car drivers who are tooting their horns, often it's to toot the horn to let you know that they're coming behind you, not necessarily to get the hell out of the way.
They do like to honk.
They like to honk. And also, you know, eye contact is really important with drivers.
Mm-hmm.
I actually played a game once with a GoPro camera to see if I could get hit in Beijing on my bike by, you know, doing crazy things. And the evidence was that I couldn't get hit because drivers are so aware of what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always looking out for some grandma or chicken or bicycle or dog or whatever to jump out in front of them. So they're very aware of what's going on around them. So it's actually difficult to get hit, in my opinion.
That's pretty risky.
Yeah, and actually, if you talk to people about 1980s Beijing,
mm-hmm.
Then there was a huge amount of bicycle traffic flow, and they didn't have traffic lights, and they didn't have roundabouts, and bicycles just kind of flowed through intersections in this kind of negotiated flow way.
Mm-hmm.
And the old Beijing people will tell you that every now and then that there was an accident. But most of the time that accident was caused by a foreigner, by a Laowei, that didn't understand the system and was going too fast or too slow or was too aggressive and caused the accident. So, when it comes to the dangers, just go with the flow. And what were the other...
Speaking about Laowei, I had a look at your website, and I saw that you have this cycling competition called Beijing Laowei Cycling World Championships. How can Austrian members get involved with this competition? Can you tell us more about the Laowei Championships?
Mm-hmm. Well, this idea came about. It's a competition for all foreign cyclists in Beijing,
mm-hmm.
and it's run on the same week as the real World Cycling Championships, which this year was held in Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that you get together with a couple of your mates and we create a special country jersey for your team.
Yep.
And then you race against the other countries on your road bike out in the mountains of Beijing. And we have a special handicap system to make the race a bit more fun and a bit more even.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're married and have kids, then you get a head start. If you're a little bit overweight, for every 500 grams you are overweight, you've got a time bonus. And also, if you're an older rider, you also get time bonuses for that. So we had different people starting the race at different times, and then the idea was that everyone would pretty much finish together, and then we would award a Laowei world champion. The event this year was really great. We had about 100 people involved,
mm-hmm.
and in the end, a young Mexican won, but he overtook an older Brit and an older Canadian in the last 10 or 15 minutes of the race, and those two old guys thought they were going to win.
they had a head start, huh?
They had a long head start, and they were going well, so it was a really great event.
Mm-hmm.
But if any AusChamp members are interested in getting involved, we didn't have an Aussie team this year because I was organising, and the other members of the team, a few of them were sick, so we'd love to have a strong Aussie team next year.
Definitely.
And also, we're always looking for sponsors, for products and services if you mm-hmm. want to get involved. We have a big expat community, so it's a great way to get access to the expat health and fitness community.
All sounds really interesting. What kind of bicycle tours do you currently offer at Zurich?
We offer quite a few bike tours. I think our most successful one is the trip to Tibet, which we do every year. So we spend 12 or 13 days cycling the best parts of Tibet. We go from Lhasa all the way to Kathmandu in the first year, mm-hmm. but because of the earthquake in Nepal this year, we altered the route to do a kind of tour all the way around Tibet. So it's an amazing experience. Yeah. I mean, Tibet is a place that I recommend everyone to go and check out during their time in China.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing it by bike has got to be one of the best ways of connecting with the culture and understanding the landscape, because you've got to ride over those high mountains,
yeah.
and then coast down the other side on your bike, and you see people on the side of the road doing all sorts of crazy stuff. You get to experience the cold, the heat, the rain, all the best stuff that Tibet has to offer.
Is there a bicycle culture there as well?
There's not that much of a bicycle culture. I mean, there's people who are getting around Lhasa on bikes,
mm-hmm.
And you'll see the odd kid out on the bike in the countryside, but not too many people into recreational cycling yet.
Yeah.
But plenty of interest for, you know, when you're riding along the road, you have kids from the villages running out to you and waving and wanting photos and saying hello.
What if you're cycling in Beijing? What's your favourite neighbourhood to cycle in?
I think probably my favourite neighbourhood would be out in the mountains. You know, Beijing has mountains on three sides,
mm-hmm.
From Mentogo, Changping, Huairou, Miyun, all the way to Pingu,
mm-hmm.
Which are the sort of outer suburbs or outer districts of Beijing. And there's absolutely amazing cycling out there. It's really world-class roads and world-class cycling. So my favourite, it's hard to pick, but I'd probably say Huairou. We use a house out there in Huairou, which mm-hmm. is a base for a lot of our events that we do each weekend.
Yep.
And the place is, the roads are pristine, it's quiet, the landscape is great. It sort of reminds me of being back at home on the farm in Australia. I mean,
yeah.
you get out of the city, into the clean air, you have some peace and quiet, and you can, you know, just get out there with nature, which is really good.
So next question is, from a marketing point of view, what mediums have been integral to your business in spreading the word about your services? And do you have any tips for other Australian small to medium enterprises in China promoting their own services?
I'd say that probably the last couple of years, WeChat has been a major part of our business.
Mm-hmm.
Since WeChat came out, we were early adopters, and we started using it to organise our events.
Yeah.
So you know, we'd do a simple thing like set up a group chat with all of the participants in a ride, and then we would, you know, drop pins of the location for the coffee stop and corners and so
mm-hmm.
on. And now it's evolved to a point where we have a series of groups on WeChat dealing with different specialties in cycling. You know, one we have that's quite good is called Cirque Mech, where our mechanic answers questions about technical bike things. And through WeChat, we're able to start to move towards becoming more of an internet-based business. So our shop, which we have near Lama Temple, is open by appointment. You make an appointment to come in and see us, and then we open up the shop and deal with each customer on a one-on-one basis. And at the other times, we are always available pretty much 24 hours on WeChat to answer questions and provide services. And WeChat is really great medium for that, because it's easy to, you know, do a
mm-hmm.
quick video chat with a customer and help solve a simple issue on their bike, which saves them driving halfway across town to get something fixed. And we also use it for marketing through our group chats. We found that our community's grown really quickly. And using the Moments medium to spread our events and just to show what we're up to on a daily basis has been really effective. And now with, you know, WeChat Pay, it's really convenient.
It's amazing.
for our customers to purchase services off us. So I'm, you know, now the next step for us is we are building a new online platform which we're going to integrate more closely with WeChat. So we're looking forward to seeing how that next stage of our business goes. Yeah. But I'm really excited about the possibilities of WeChat for a small business. Encourage other SME to start thinking about how to maximise the platform.
Yeah, some very good tips there. Do you have any future plans to shake up the Beijing cycling scene and encourage more locals and expats to get involved with bike activities?
Well, the biggest thing we are working on at the moment is our new shop, which we're very excited about. It's going to be four levels of what we call curated cycling,
yeah.
Where we're having a range of the world's best products and then providing expert advice and tips for cyclists. And then out the back of our space, we're going to have a beer garden where we'll have beers and bike wash.
It's really exciting.
The idea really with the shop is to help build a new cycling culture through showing locals what's possible with the bike, the sorts of adventures you can get up to on a bicycle, and then giving them a whole range of tips and tricks on how to become better cyclists, better use their equipment. So sometimes that will be about a product, and other times it'll be as simple as, you know, put a plastic bag over your feet in winter when it's raining to keep the water out.
Yeah.
So it's about building a community through our space, and hopefully you know, finding, you know, ways to connect with new Chinese consumers that are interested in getting involved in cycling again.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's all for the questions today. Thank you for tuning in to AusCham's podcast series. Once again, I'd like to thank Shannon for your time today. You can go on to www.auscham.org for more episodes of podcasts. You can also go on to www.serkcirc.cc for Shannon's website for more information. Thank you, Shannon, for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks.